You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 31. And this week we're going to introduce you to someone special. We're going to introduce you to the saint version of yourself. You as a saint. We've also got our joke, our tip of the week, our Latin word of the week, all that in a bag of Fritos coming up soon. And thank you for tuning into the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to introduce you to someone you have not yet met. It is the saint version of you. What if you became a living saint? What if 300 years from now, people carried around holy cards with a picture of you on them? Or what if there's a statue of you at the Vatican? What would that saint you look like? Well, today we're going to look at three helpful attitude adjustments to get you going on that journey. So it's going to be a great show, and we're going to start off, as we do now, with our weekly joke. And all you listeners have been making this so easy because you're sending me these jokes, and I used to have to go all over the internet finding clean jokes, and now they're just coming in. So thank you so much. This week's joke comes from a listener, Catherine Loft. So Catherine, if you're listening, thank you so much. The joke goes like this. There is an old grandma who is out on the back porch sipping a glass of wine, sitting next to her husband, the old grandpa. And the old grandpa overheard his wife saying these words, "I love you so much. I don't know how I could ever live without you." And the old grandpa asked, "Is that you speaking or the wine speaking?" And the old grandma said, "Oh, it's me speaking, but I'm talking to the wine." Okay, Catherine, thanks for saying that. And if you got a great joke, shoot, send me an email. Let me know, and maybe we'll put it up here on the show. Well, it's going to be a really great featured segment today. I've been really excited about this one. And before we get into all that and our tip of the week, I have some announcements to make. First of all, the new book, I've already started it, Augustine in 50 Pages, is in process. I've written maybe about 20% of it so far. So excited about that. We're also working on getting Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages, the first book in this series, into both paperback and Kindle format for this summer. So stay tuned for that. And if you still want to get Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages for free, go to taylormarshall.com and you can download it right there for free. And hopefully in the next month and a half or so, the Augustine in 50 Pages will be available as well. So make sure you go and sign up. And by the way, if you've already signed up for Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages and you're still on the email list, you're going to get the Augustine in 50 Pages as soon as it comes out, immediately. Also, another thing that's going to be happening is we're going to put together a launch team. We did this last year. We had an inner circle of people who read the first drafts of the manuscript and gave their input, and then also helped us kind of spread the word and build some buzz and some excitement. So if you're interested in that, just put that feather in your cap. Just think about that, and we're going to make a possibility for people who listen to this podcast and read the blog to sign up and be part of our launch team for both the old book and the new book. So stay tuned on that. Also, our pilgrimage to the Holy Land, February 1st through February 11th, 2015. I'll be leading a pilgrimage, and the theme will be my book, The Crucified Rabbi, How Judaism in the Old Testament Helps Us Better Understand Our Catholic Faith Here in the New Testament. And we're going to go to all the major sites in the Holy Land. We're not going to skip one. We're going to go to all of them. The Holy Sepulchre, we're going to see where Christ was crucified, Bethlehem, Galilee, Nazareth, the Mount Tabor, where he was transfigured, everywhere. It's going to be not only a pilgrimage, but a spiritual retreat. We'll have priests with us saying Mass. And it's going to be a intellectual retreat, because we'll have lectures in the evening to learn more about what we're seeing and what we believe. We're also going to have a time to renew our baptismal vows at the Jordan River and renew our wedding vows for couples who come at Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine at that wedding and elevated marriage to the dignity of a sacrament. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. If you're interested, please sign up. Space is limited. You can do that by going to pilgrimages.com, pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall, pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. You can see pictures, see our itinerary, and learn more, and sign up for the pilgrimage there at pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. Also, we had a bunch of people sign up this past week as members of the new St. Thomas Institute. I want to give them a shout out. So we got Joshua McCroskey, Ray Welch, Idelberto Ramon, Timothy McCormick, and Christina Martin. Oh, wait, a few more here. Anita Menz and Elizabeth Sanchez. So all of you who signed up, welcome to the new St. Thomas Institute. You are now a mighty, mighty muskox, and you have access to all the video lessons and access to our certificate in theology, which can all be accomplished online. It's easy. We give you the videos, we give you the MP3 audio, and we give you the notes. It's really a turnkey continuing education. So if you're interested in that and you haven't signed up yet, please go to newstthomas.com, newstthomas.com, and you can watch an intro video and learn more about it, see if it's right for you. Okay, now we turn to the tip of the week. And I love this tip of the week. It's very simple. I've been doing this the last several days, and it's really changed my attitude and the way that I step into a new day each morning. And here's how it goes. So when you wake up, walk over to a physical window in your bedroom or your apartment, your house, and open it up. And then begin to talk to God. So open the window and say, "Good morning, God. What a beautiful day. Look at that bird over there. Look at the new leaves on the trees. I know you're going to bless me today. I know that I'm your child. I feel good about this day. I know that you're going to guide me. I know there's going to be trouble, but you're going to help me with the troubles of this day." And just talk to him. It's a way to do a morning offering. And for me, it kind of makes that morning offering more real. I've been doing it for years. It kind of becomes a pattern or a mindless habit. And this is kind of a way to open the window and to talk to my Father in heaven. So try it out. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, get out of bed, walk over to the window, fling it open, and say good morning to God. And know that He is with you all day long. And as you go through the day, I think it's going to stick with you. So I'm going to keep doing it. Maybe I'll tell you as the weeks roll on here how's it's going, but I'm going to keep it up, and I'm going to challenge you to do the same thing as well. Now, our proverb of the week comes from Proverbs 25, verse 28. It reads like this, quote, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls," end quote. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. You know, we need to have the virtue of temperance, self-control. It's important that we teach our children self-control. It's important that we teach ourselves self-control. I'm recording this on the Tuesday in Holy Week, and as we finish up Lent, we're reminded that it's all about self-control, saying no to some of the things that you want, things that are good. You know, we always say no to sin. Sometimes we say no to things that are good for a greater good. And so we need to learn self-control. If we don't, we become, as the proverb says, like a city broken into and left without walls. You know, in antiquity, if you were a city, you had no walls, and your enemy had come in, you were completely pillaged. The women were raped. The children were sold into slavery. The men were killed. It was a complete devastation. And that's what happens to our souls when we don't have self-control. The devil can come in, he can play with our passions, and he can ruin us. He can devastate us. So this week, let's live this proverb. Gain self-control, and if you do, you'll be like a city with a big, strong, tall wall to protect you from the wiles of the enemy. All right, and now we're going to turn, I can't wait for this, we're turning to our featured segment, introducing you to the saint version of yourself. Imagine yourself as a poorly made statue being sold at a Catholic bookstore. Or imagine a church named after you. Or imagine your image on a holy card with a little gold crown over your head, a little halo. How does that make you feel? Well, I bet it makes you feel a little bit uneasy. You think to yourself, oh my goodness, I am such a bad Christian. I'm a bad Catholic. That would never happen. And if that's your reaction, I've got great news for you, because that's exactly how a saint would react. I'm unworthy. That would never happen. So you're already on the right path. Let's talk about the saint version of you. So just say it right now. Maybe if you're with other people, it's uncomfortable. But if you're by yourself, just say saint and then insert your first and last name. I am saint, and then say it. All right. I am saint, and then say your name. Okay. Now, this is not impossible with God's grace. You can become that saint with God's grace. And that means that you're going to need to grow in joy, charity, hope, and faith. Now, a little disclaimer. The guy in the microphone right now is not a saint, right? I am not a living saint. I've only read about him, all right? So this is an exercise for me as well. I'm not speaking from personal experience, okay? I'm just giving us three suggestions for us all to get on this path of sanctity, because the church calls all of us, you know, it's called the universal call to sanctity. The church calls every single one of us to become great saints, because the church is speaking with the voice of Christ. Christ calls all of us to become great saints. When he says, follow me, become my disciple, he's saying, become holy, become a great saint. All right, so you ready? You ready to go? Okay, first of all, the attitude adjustment that we need to make is to realize that your story, your journey to become a saint, is your own saint's story. You know, as kids, we read these little books. My kids read them about little saint stories, you know, and they're about, you know, I guess they're about 10 to 15 pages long. And we read these little biographies. If you're adult, maybe you read Butler's Lives of the Saints. But what's noticeable is every single saint story is different. You know, you never read a biography or the story of a saint and say, you know, that's exactly like the other, this other saint's story. They're all different. Jesus has a different plan for each of us. And this means that we should never compare ourselves to other people. Those, maybe compare ourselves to those who have already finished the race and become great saints. Also, especially to people who are still alive. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, oh, that nun has so much time to pray. If only I didn't have seven kids asking me for more Nutella on their bagel, I could also become a saint. Right? When we compare ourselves, we can either make excuses or we can become discouraged. Comparing ourselves to other people in the spiritual life is deadly, and the devil knows it. It's one of his favorite tools. He wants you to compare yourselves to other people. And I'm going to make you a guarantee. Going back to episode one, I'll make you the Outback Steakhouse guarantee. All right, so I'll send you a $30 gift card to Outback Steakhouse. If what I'm about to say is not true. And here it is. If you compare yourselves to others, you will always have a negative spiritual consequence. 100% every time. If I'm wrong and you have a positive experience, then I'm going to send you a $30 Outback Steak gift card. And here's why. Whenever you compare yourself to to other people, you either become extremely discouraged and resentful, either towards that person or towards God, because he didn't arrange it for you to be that same way or to be blessed in that same way. Or alternatively, and this is rarer, you become prideful because you're like, oh man, my life is so much better than that person. Their life just sucks. I mean, look at their life. And you begin to think that you're somehow better. So every time we enter into the comparison game, a negative spiritual effect happens. So just don't do it. Remember, boats are for water, race cars are for racetracks, airplanes are for the sky, trains are for the train tracks. Each vehicle has a different environment, and each person has a different environment for sanctity. You know, you can't be an airplane and compare yourself to a train or a helicopter or a yacht. Each of them travels in their own way. So if you look at your neighbor or your friend at church or the person in your small group and you say to yourself, they're moving so much faster than I am because, and fill in the blank, you're already setting yourself up for disappointment. All right. This happened to our family just this past weekend. It was Saturday down here in Texas. It's getting beautiful. The weather was awesome. And we wanted to get our backyard cleaned up to look really nice. Joy bought some new cushions for the outdoor chairs and the table and a new umbrella for the outdoor table. We like to eat outside as much as we can because we have to clean up the kitchen less. A little tip for those of you with the bigger families, eat outside, less cleanup. So we're getting the backyard all set, and all the kids, you know, we have seven children. The baby Elizabeth is only 9 months, so she's not doing anything. She's just looking cute. That's her job. All the other kids have jobs they need to do. And of course, they begin to compare themselves and their jobs to the other kids and their jobs, and there's a lot of complaining going on. You know, so it's like, yeah, but why do I have to pick up the toys? I didn't leave all these toys out here. Or why do I have to clean up this trash? I didn't put the trash here. Or why does he get to sweep? I want to be the sweeper. Or why does she get to be inside in the air conditioning while we're all out here? And of course, there's an answer to each of those questions. You know, maybe what's being done inside in the kitchen requires someone who actually knows how to use the dishwasher. That's why she has that job. And the reason you're doing the sweeping is because you're tall enough to hold the broom, right? There's a rhyme and a reason to who has which job. But the kids, being kids, begin to compare their tasks to the others, and they begin to resent the others and fight, and sometimes have conflict with me, the dad. Now, if you kind of put this into a spiritual analogy, God the Father has given us our tasks, our jobs, our vocations, and he knows that he's equipped us for each one of those jobs. So, you know, Gabriel maybe didn't want to sweep, but he's the one tall enough to do it in the best way, so he gets that job. So God appoints each of us certain spiritual tasks in this life, and he expects us to fulfill them because he knows that we can. He's given us those gifts. So our responsibility is to do what we're asked to do and to know that the Father who assigned these circumstances loves us perfectly, loves us infinitely, and has a reason for it. There's a reason, and that's how you become a saint. That is your saint story, and it will be different from every single person on earth, both now and all the way back to Adam and Eve. Your story is unique. Okay, second attitude readjustment is we need to capture a sense of joy and wonder about life. You know, so often we think about, you know, the novenas and wearing certain medals and being parts of certain groups, and all those are great, and I do all those things as well. But if we don't have a sense of joy, gratitude, and I'm going to add here a sense of wonder, as we would say in Latin, admiratio is the word for wonder. We translate it as admiration in English, but you know, it really is looking up to something that you know, makes you admire God, right? To look up to something that's almost miraculous, to see life is ever new, you know, ever green, new surprises each and every day, and to appreciate all the things going on in nature and in your life and in this economy of grace that God set up in the Catholic Church. This calls for a sense of wonder and joy. Also this weekend, after we cleaned up the yard, we rewarded the kids. We went out to the lake, and we had some kayaks, and the kids got in the kayaks, and we got a new GoPro camera. Those are those little digital cameras that you can stick on to things for sporting events. So we stuck a video camera on the kayak, and we shot some great videos. It was a lot of fun. And it was great just to be in a kayak out on the water with the kids. I've done kayaking. It doesn't have the thrill that it used to, but being with the children and seeing it through their eyes, it gave me that sense of wonder or thrill. We were out on the water. There were ducks. We were splashing water. The kids were singing. We were joking around. There was humor. There was not a lot of complaining. It was just a really fun time of being around with each other and being in the outdoors and having this sense of joy and wonder. And that's how the saints were. You know, you read about Saint Francis, and you can imagine him out in the wilderness singing, praising, having a sense of wonder and happiness about where God has him. All the saints, you know, especially Saint Paul, he's writing in prison, and yet he says, rejoice. He's writing in prison, and he talks about the joy of Christ welling up in his heart. You know, Paul was a man full of joy, full of wonder, and he was persecuted, and he had physical ailments, and he had trouble, and his own people rejected him, and he was stoned, and he was shipwrecked. All sorts of terrible things happened to him, and yet when you read his writings, when you read his epistles in the New Testament, it sounds like a man who's full of life, full of joy. And that's what we need to be as saints, as Christians. We have Christ in us, and we should have joy. If we're constantly having our head hanging low, we don't really appreciate how much God loves us. So pray for it. Ask God for it. God, give me that sense of delight and wonder. Let me rejoice in you. And then third and lastly, the attitude readjustment that we need in order to become the saints that God has called us to be is to find intimacy with God. You know, so often we think that we have to construct all of these sentences and these pious thoughts to have intimacy with God. You know, in the morning you start off in your prayers and you start to use maybe flowery language, and you begin to praise God, and that's good. We should always do that. But the saints tell us that the greatest intimacy with God is without words. If you read St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila, they say that our greatest intimacy with God does not have words or phrases or sentences. It's a gaze. It's a presence. It's a placing of your soul in the presence of God. Those who are married, maybe you've experienced this. Sometimes when you just look at your spouse, you could be driving in the car, you could be with the kids, you could be at the dinner table, and your eyes meet, and the eyes say it all. They say, I love you, I cherish this moment, I'm so happy. And there's no word, but there's this deep sense of intimacy. And that's what we need to have with God. I took my twin daughters and my 5-year-old son to a Texas Ranger game. I love the Texas Rangers. It's a long story. Even how I became a Christian relates to the Texas Rangers. But we went to the baseball game. Some good friends of ours gave us these amazing tickets on the fourth row, and we had such a great day at the Ranger game. And while we were there, we spent a lot of time together. We had a good time. Sometimes we were holding hands. Sometimes I had my arm around one of the children. Sometimes we were just waiting in line for ice cream or a drink at the concession stand. But all of that time was intimate. All of that time was special. We were with each other, and that's what counts. You know, we didn't have to be talking the whole time. Sometimes just a touch or a look or just standing next to each other, smiling, is enough. That's great intimacy, and I cherish that with my children. And I, as the father, I think enjoyed it more than all of them combined, both when we were speaking and when we weren't speaking. And the key to all of this, I think, is that the children were aware of my presence and they were enjoying my presence. They were rejoicing in my presence and I reciprocated. And I think that's exactly how it must be with God. When we are in his presence, we may not be saying anything. It may just be a smile. It may just be this sort of sense of calm or peace in our soul, a handing over of everything, all of our troubles, all of our worries, and placing them into his hand and just resting in him. And that gives him so much happiness. He rejoices over us when he sees us rejoicing in his own presence. There's this reciprocation, this back and forth love, this intimacy that happens. And all the saints had this. And it's kind of even hard to explain, but I think if you think back to a loving parent or a loving grandparent or someone who was very close to you when you were a child, and you can think about what that felt like to hold on to their really big hand with your little hand and to just be somewhere special with them and to know that they were looking at you and they were loving you and you were looking back and loving them. That, I really think, is the posture of the saint. That's the spiritual posture of the soul, and that's what God wants. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross for us, to absolve us of all of our sins, to give us grace, to give us the sacraments, to give us his mother, to give us the saints, to give us the magisterium, so that we could be with him, in him, and enjoy his intimacy. So, action item goes back to our tip of the week. Tomorrow morning, after you listen to this podcast, tomorrow morning when you wake up, throw open your window, smile, and say, God, I love you. Say a bunch of things, or just stand there in front of that window, look out into the day, and know that his loving, fatherly protection is looking down upon you. And you'll be blessed. And you'll become the saint you were meant to be. You'll become saint, insert your first and last name. Well, before we move to our Latin word of the week, just a reminder for those who are members of the New St. Thomas Institute. This morning we put up a new lesson. It's a two-part series on the eight attributes of God. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that there are eight fundamental attributes of God, and so we go through those. And today we put up the first four attributes according to Thomas Aquinas, so check that out. Now, our Latin word of the week is sanctificatio. Sanctificatio, where we get the word sanctification in English, and it's really a compound of two Latin words, sanctus, meaning holy or saint, and fatio. Fatio, or in a classical pronunciation, facio, which means to make something, like a factory is where you make something. So sanctificatio is the process of becoming holy, the process of becoming a saint, and it doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens over a period of time. It began at your baptism. It will continue up to your death. So cooperate with those graces, and you will experience sanctificatio. All right, well, again, there's a free gift offer for you. If you go over to taylormarshall.com, you can download Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. It'll only be there for about a month and a half longer, and then it'll be gone. It will no longer be free, but we will be offering the Kindle and paperback version. But if you want the free version now, go over to taylormarshall.com and sign up and get that free book. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe. It comes out every Wednesday. If you go to iTunes and search Taylor Marshall Show in iTunes, you can hit the subscribe button and it will automatically download to your iPhone, your iPod, your computer, whatever you have set up. And I'd really appreciate it, as I always say, if you would give a rating to the show. If you go into iTunes, you can rate this podcast. And with this past week, we had two new 5-star ratings, and I want to give a shout out to them. Thank you so much to Jay Oliver and MJ in Fresno, who wrote awesome reviews and gave a rating of the podcast. I really appreciate you. And also, I want to ask you to do something new this week. If you enjoy this podcast, tell a friend. Maybe you know someone who's discouraged, who needs a pick-me-up, who needs something to kind of move them along and to encourage them, and maybe this podcast could help them. So point them in this direction. You can find this podcast if you go to taylormarshall.com, and at the top, click on podcast. You could email them the link. That'd be the best thing. Just send them an email. And, you know, I think one of the best podcasts to start someone off on would be episode, which one is it here? 21. Episode 21, Did You Miss God's Plan for Your Life? A lot of people wrote to me and said that, you know, that really helped them because we've messed up. A lot of us have committed horrible sins. We feel like we've gotten off of God's plan for our life. And we wonder, is there still any hope? Can God still use me? Does God still have a plan for my life? And we tackle that with Scripture and the saints and everything in episode 21. Did you miss God's plan for your life? So go to taylormarshall.com, click on podcast, and go down to episode 21. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.